Hello, everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited. I am Gil, today joined by Corey and Rob, as per usual. How are you guys doing?
Yo, yo.
Hello there.
I love it. You know what I found out today, or the other day? I found out that there's another Unlimited account. His name is like Space Bear Unlimited. He had a really good video about the Denver Sector qualifiers. And I felt okay. I was like, oh no, now I feel like I was copying him, even though I don't know he existed. Space Bear Unlimited. The video was really good. He got to interview like a staff member of FFG, which was really cool because like I haven't done that yet. And apparently they're like bros that have gone back like years.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah,
so
we'll have to get someone on the pod then.
Yeah, I know. I should.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you tried, right? So that's fair.
You're just going to ambush Tyler at the next con that you're at?
Yeah, I should. Maybe I won't ambush, but maybe I'll, like, I don't know, smuggle myself into his
Send
room.
An official media request. Official Do it meeting. The right way, Gil.
We're close. I mean, like we're I feel like we're right there to become official content creators, because now that we've gotten a little bit more, like, viewership, and we've had some, like, hits on the videos, like, I feel like I should ask.
Thanks to all of you guys.
Yeah, thanks to all the listeners out there. Which, shout out to a couple players, a couple users out there. And Ando Commander, he gave some feedback about the survey that we did with the raffle, for the convention pack. He gave some really good feedback, mm-hmm. and I thought it was fair because, you know, it's not everyone can listen the day of. You know, and there's people who probably listen to us and they're like on a lag time. Like, he's not the only person that's talked to me about catching up on like the episodes. So I don't, you know, I think what we'll do in the future is every time we do like a raffle or survey or something, we'll extend it out to like 2 weeks instead of like 1 week at a time to give people the appropriate amount of time to like actually listen in, you know?
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
It's fair.
So, yeah, no, and I, you know, I appreciate everyone who listens, regardless of the timing of it all. And you know, your feedback, your feedback's amazing. Like, I love the comments. I try to respond to every single one. I think I might have missed like maybe two or three out of like the entire like lifespan of this podcast and like YouTube channel. So anyway, thank you for the feedback, guys. And if anyone who's listening has anything like that, feel free to add like or put that in the comments or send me an email at gil@padawanlimited.com. You know, I love it. So we had a lot of news come out.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's been no zero news.
So
today.
It is Siri. April. It is April 9th, 2025 at 8 p.m. while we're doing this recording. And that is a dirty lie. That no news came out. Before we go into what probably people want to hear about more, aka FFG news for like competitive play, I like to let's stick with the format we've been doing, which is like let's talk about the collection first. So and like the state of the collection, maybe not even our own personal collections, but hint what might be happening in the future for collections.
Honestly, this news, I think, is kind of getting buried behind today's news, but I think it's very big news. It is yesterday's news.
Yeah, yesterday's news. So, Corey, take us away, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we heard rumblings about the Legends of the Force, and we got some reveals for them. And so, very exciting. It feels like it's so fast. Like, we just got into, you know, jumped to Lightspeed, and now here we are with Legends of the Force. We're getting the spotlight decks, we're getting the mats, we're getting the different packs. They showed the artwork for the booster boxes, for the carbonite packs. Yeah. Vader on the cover of those packs.
Yeah, that Vader prestige is going to be bananas. Yep.
And even more exciting is we're getting mass market packs. So if you don't know what that means, essentially, instead of having to go to like a collectible store or a gaming store or something where you can get the individual packs that people open from their boosters, you will have single packs marketed and packaged for the big retailers like Target, like Walmart. And so just like when you go to see those Pokemon decks and those Magic decks or cards, and even Lorcana will be out there. Star Wars is going to be out there in the world in the wild for those casuals.
Yeah.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that news is huge. The way that games like this begin to get longevity, particularly outside of Magic, because Magic has just been around since the 90s, and that's why it's everywhere. But for Lurkana, for, you know, Pokemon, for all these cards, being sold in a Walmart means you're going to have people who may not have been exposed to the hobby world. You know, they may not have ever set foot in a hobby store, and they're going to see this game on, like, a Target shelf, and you're going to get, I do think it's going to lead to an influx of players because of that, because it's Star Wars IP. So, you know, for, again, for everyone who's not a hobbyist, now you're like, oh, there's a card game. Like, you walk into Walmart, you're like, oh, there's a card game that has Star Wars IP. Let me check this out. And I think you're going to get a lot of people starting to play it due to that.
100%. You've heard me say this like for like months at this point. Like, what is FFG doing? Or like, the game for longevity needs to appeal to like a broader market, like kids and women and children and all types of, you know, like other demographics. You can't just stick to like the middle-aged like dude demographic. And not that I can necessarily against that, but like, if you want to go for more than 2 years, you need to have a big base, and this is fantastic because like, this is fantastic for the community, I think. And they talked about how they have like a 20-year plan or something, like they want this to go for like 20 years. So like, if you're investing like in like these cards, that's good stuff.
Good to hear. It's good to hear. And they even mentioned that in the stream yesterday as well, with the fact that they're planning on sets in the future, and like, we have 10, 12 like sets already planned out and being worked on. So knowing that, like, we have years of development already taking place, that's very encouraging for the game. And hopefully with this mass market pack, we will get an influx of players that, like Robert, you're saying, like, people don't know what they don't know. It's like, we are in this hobby, so we're all in it. We know, like, what the heck? Like, it's obvious for us, but, and if you're listening to this podcast, obviously you're a fan of Star Wars or something, because you're here. But the people that don't necessarily know what a trading card game is, or, you know, or that
we'll know of it outside of like Pokemon.
Yeah, like, my coworker is very new to the game, because he just found out, like, a year later, just found out about the game. And so, yeah, it's still bringing in new people, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you need to set one bulk, I've got plenty.
Save that bulk, because that's I don't know if they're going to ever reprint that. They did one reprint.
That's
like,
fair.
You don't know what's going to happen. That's like the alpha set, you know, like all those, we think about how showcases have gone down in value. We think about like the Carbonite packs that may not be doing as well as we thought in terms of retaining value, right? Not, they actually sold out really well, but like, you have to think that if you get an influx of new players from the mass markets, and they start to collect, and they see that there's exclusive cards out there that they're like a year away from, they're going to buy that up. They're going to try to get it, especially if they're doing the collection, which is good for collectors, right? Or investors.
Investors.
In the game, right?
That's the difference. Yeah, that is a significant difference there.
Yeah.
And what I do hope, actually, is the Carbonite packs that we got, it felt like a good number of packs, but I actually kind of wanted to be rarer in a way, because it wasn't hard to get them, and it wasn't necessarily difficult to collect the Carbonites and the prestige cards. Although I don't have full sets of everything, but I do think they're still out there, still available. So
what are you talking about? You got a playset of Akbars, bro.
well, no, not anymore.
Not anymore, but yeah.
Which, by the way, shout out Hope Swoo, T.Y. Swoo got his card. So I'll chat him like after this. I'll be like, hey, did you get it yet? You know what? What deck? So I will say though, one last thing about like this mass market kind of appeal. Maybe two things, but you have to think they did the Carbonite stuff with just us, right? Like, just like this core group of like maybe 10,000 people who like are all like really into the game. And once that goes to the mass markets and they only produce the same line of like 30,000 boxes, like, those are gonna be like potentially Pokemon level like scarcity because
yeah,
because that's gonna be the first set people are gonna go out for. They're gonna be like, oh, they're gonna Google it. They're gonna be like, what is this? Oh, there's like this special like box that you can get, and it's all these Force users that look really dope. Like, I mean,
Darth Vader's on the cover.
Yeah, with Darth Vader on the cover.
This price does price out people, a lot of people though. Yeah, like, the casuals that are playing this game are not necessarily spending or dropping $300 to $600 for two boxes or a box.
Well, I guess what I mean is like, when you get like out of 10,000 new people, you're going to get like 100 that are going to be really invested in it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, sure.
A small percentage.
Yeah, no, I mean, those percentages. Yeah,
the percentages. Yep, and like, that's going to make it harder for like us to get those to get that product, because now there's, again, a mass, new masses, which is good for the game longevity, but for us who've like had this like, oh, it's pretty nice, it's easy to get carbonite boxes, that's not necessarily going to be the case in the future. Sorry, Rob, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, my only caveat to this, I actually don't think it's going to be this set. I think it's actually going to be this upcoming set, Legends of the Fourth, I think it's going to be a set after. Because if this is the first mass market set, you're going to get, you'll get a couple people who are going to be doing it, but more often than not, it'll probably have the ability for them to like pre-order them and get them, we'll pass them by. It's going to be the set after, once we get people in the door with Legends of the Force, that the third round of Carbonites is going to be probably a little bit more difficult, would be my guess.
Okay, okay. Fair enough. Well, we'll see at the middle of July, end of July, where that lands. We can only predict.
What was the third one? Like,
I thought it was June, right?
Secrets of Power.
Secrets of Power,
Right. July. It's going to be the big mid-July or beginning of July, where the Legends of the Force releases. So,
it's going to be before the Galactic Championship.
Yes, it has. And maybe maybe that's by design, like why they kind of have released this early, because now you could keep testing for it, which, you know, they talked about it. Like, they're not going to preemptively ban anyone yet. But they are aware that there's going to be power spikes.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe we should talk about that then, Gil.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. Okay. All right. So that was good collection talk. Again, pretty good news for just longevity of the game. Maybe not so good news for local game stores, because now they have to compete against big boxes. But aside from that, we had some meta news. Rob, do you want to regale us of what finally happened or what we thought might happen?
Well, it really wasn't that big of a deal, was it, guys? I mean, no. So for those of you who have not heard the news, I'd be surprised if you haven't at this point. We had three suspensions drop today. We'll do the small one first, which was DJ, which is still not an insignificant suspension. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the ones that everybody has been talking about, and that is Django and TDR, both got suspended today.
Triple Dark Raid.
Triple Dark Raid. Yeah, so big shakeups to the meta. And I have my opinions about TDR, but I think the other two were definitely warranted. Just for those of you, if you haven't been paying attention to the numbers, we'll talk about TDR. No, don't worry, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay, go ahead.
For those of you who haven't been paying attention to the numbers, we did mention it last week, but at Milan, Django was like 15 of 16, 7 of 8, basically dominated the top 16. And the representation at both Liverpool and Denver were equally lopsided for Django.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reasons for this, again, if you didn't watch the stream, and I think everybody who is from the FFG team that was on the stream articulated it very well. The problem is that Django creates a non-interactive play space. So, you know, with him flipping on five, you can immediately play a War Juggernaut or another unit that deals out damage to tap down a board. And it means that not only does it prevent your opponent from attacking, but it keeps Django out on the board longer, which means that the longer he's out there, the more you can do it. And it creates this sort of gameplay loop that they really didn't want to see. As far as DJ is concerned, the reason that the DJ ban came down the way that they articulated it, and again, I agree with this assessment, was that it basically Han Tech DJ was out controlling control decks. It prevented really an entire archetype of card game, you know, archetypes being played. So for those of you who aren't familiar, you have three major archetypes and subtypes within there, but the three major archetypes are aggro, meaning you go fast, go hard at an opponent's life total. You have mid-range, which plays sort of larger units that tend to end a game a little bit slower than an aggro deck, but can you know, they basically get value for coming out. And then you have control decks, which basically try to delay your opponent from doing things until you can drop something that ends the game in like one or two turns.
Yeah. So before we get too technical, because there's gonna be a lot of technical discussion about, like,
there will be
with, you know, all the archetypes that are affected and what main decks might be affected. Is this a good move?
Absolutely. Like, you know, yeah, they killed my boy, but 100% this is for the health of the game. And like I said, and I may have my own kind of personal feelings about TDR, but, you know, regardless of my own feelings about it, I think there is it was a problem, and there are this is ultimately done for the health of the game, which is good.
Yeah. It has to be. It had to happen. It had to happen. When you have a tournament, and it's not even like, because it wasn't like Django's 50% played in the overall tournament. It was like, you know, 25-ish%, let's say.
Yeah, but
the conversion rate that was happening with Django. Well, that'll be finished. The conversion rate that was happening is alarming and disturbing, and like the fact that you know it's going to be happening. So let's say like you have these yellow decks that are, and it's all like we talked about like last time, like yellow decks, cunning decks is what it is, and TDR with Jump to Light Speed became just an outrageous card that made the game unfun for a lot of people. And I know people personally that stopped playing because of the set with TDR specifically.
And they did talk about that on the stream, that the in the design space for TDR when it was originally conceived was that there was some risk to this, right? You know, you weren't digging 10 deep like you were with Vader, you're only digging 7 deep. So there was a chance that you missed. There was a chance that you didn't hit what you were looking for. And really, when you looked at, like, prior to Jump to Light Speed, the one big card that you often wanted to hit in a yellow-red combination was Ruthless Raider, but that was kind of the only one that you really wanted to hit. Fetch Fire Spray was okay in there, but in that slot. But it was really you wanted to hit Ruthless Raider. But now with War Juggernaut, even IG-2000,
Devastator.
Obviously Devastator.
Yeah.
Yeah, Devastator. I mean, Devastator is the big one, right? You now had so many targets that, like, your likelihood of missing was pretty much nil. And so, like, the downside...
You're going to hit something, and you're going to hit at least 3 for 3. Like, right? You're going to hit a card, like, 99 out of 100 times at this point. But, like, and this set card made sense in the first 3 sets, because you didn't have many space units. There was not that many vehicles. Space decks.
Yeah.
Right? So, vehicle specifically, you're right. And so, we weren't seeing this card being played as much because of that. But now, with Jump to Light Speed and being so focused on the vehicles and the space arena, there's just no missing. And when you have a card that's only 3 cost, and you get to play it and keep the card afterwards.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's just so strong. Like,
should have been at least a legendary. Sorry.
Right. I mean, War Juggernaut, and then you get to play it again the next turn, potentially. Like, if you play it at, like, 5, it's, like, it's so...
Well, off of a sneak attack, but yeah.
And then you turn to 6, and you're in. You're good.
Well, you could potentially flip it on 4, right? So
you could even do it earlier, and then play it back, and then play another one if you get another one. It's, like, you could play Juggernaut 3 turns in a row, but, like, by the time... It's just, yeah, it's just game over at that point.
No. Look, like I said, I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to disagree that it's a strong card. I'm not going to disagree that it was a problem, particularly with Django. Now, do I think that in the other archetype, without Django, is it as big of a problem? That was where my argument on this comes down.
It is, absolutely.
I think there is an argument that it is. I think you could also say that without Django, you're not tapping a board. There's opportunity for counterplay against it. Now, with that being said,
you have a card that comes out on turn five that can do 13 damage on turn five. Like for any yellow villain deck. That's crazy.
Yellow, red, but yes.
Sure.
But look, like I said, I'm not going to say that it's not a strong card and the ban is not warranted. But like I said, you know, they also, well, and sorry, again, I should be specific there. It's not a ban. It is a suspension. Now that being said, it's effectively a ban, but there's a possibility that some of these cards come off of the suspension list, but I definitely don't think Django will be one of those. TDR maybe as the meta moves.
I don't know how you think TDR is so much like better to have in the game than Django.
Right. Because you're not creating a space where your opponent doesn't get to do anything against you despite that. But okay, look, regardless, it's a good thing. I'm not gonna argue that it was not a strong card and it was not something they could do. But again, that's just that's just what it is. We gotta find new archetypes now.
Preaching to the choir. Like I think it's almost unanimous that those three cards at a minimum were very disruptive to pleasurable gameplay.
Here, I don't think DJ is as bad as
I actually do, though.
Yeah,
see, I actually do. Yeah.
No, I know you do, and I think it's for me. I think that with DJ specifically, it is played in one specific deck.
But here's the thing: that one specific deck is keeping an entire archetype out of the game.
No, I understand that, and I get it. But all you need to do is say you can't destroy the resource that you take, right? But, so like the rule, only thing you need to do is change the rule to say you can't destroy a resource that you stole, right? So it's like a rule change, but that could have been made instead of, because he's the only one that it's devastating to have that happen to, because you can deal with, as soon as he's gone from any other deck, you get your resource back.
Look, the I think the problem with that is, and this is the problem with all physical card games, is that that's effectively an errata. And
they've done errata. I don't know.
They've done errata.
You don't even have to change the text on the card.
But they've done errata to clarify rulings. They've not changed text on the card, and it's about interpretation of the wording on the card, not changing the way that the effect works. The problem
doesn't have to change. It's just a destroy a resource, right? But you cannot. All you have to do is change the rule that says you cannot destroy a resource you didn't originally own. That's it. That's all you have to say.
So that's
super simple.
Potential proposal instead of just like a ban, like do a
no, and like not... I'm not against the ban. Like I think it's good because we needed that. I guess like you were saying, Rob, you need that out of the game because the archetype is destroying a complete third of like people's playstyles, right? There's no hard control because Han is doing better hard control and is a better aggro deck than aggro deck sometimes. So it's like better at both sides being a mid-range deck. So I get it. I'm just saying that is the only leader that it's really causing this whole thing to happen. And that is because the leader is so strong.
Yeah.
Right. So well, is it the leader or is it the card?
And they did talk about Han still potentially being on the suspension watch list, or not potentially, is on the suspension watch list still. They decided not to because they think.
Oh, yeah. Once you take DJ away, is it going to
have the impact? And they want to wait and see on that one. Yeah. Now, what I will say is that I do think that it's a good thing. And again, for those of you who didn't watch the FFG stream, the reasoning behind one of the other reasons behind the DJ ban is not just that it was overperforming, and it was, but it's that the interaction and the play loop there is very problematic that early in the game. So the difficulty is that because of how early that combo can come out, if you are going to counter it, and there were counters to it, but if you were going to counter it, you basically had to wait for your opponent to do it, whether or not they had it. And you had to assume that they had it, which meant that you were holding your resources or holding a play or playing suboptimally in anticipation of your opponent maybe
doing it. I don't have a problem with any of that.
But on turn,
do you not do that with beans? Do you not do that with tech? Do you not do that with other cards?
But not to this effect. Because like, the problem
I'm playing a Sabine with Darksaber. Well, I had to be ready to deal with that.
But Corey, I think the thing with this one is that Han allows you to play above curve. So you're not only are you playing above curve, you're forcing your opponent to play below curve. And that interaction...
I understand that. They talked about that.
Yeah.
There are cards, and TDR, for one, we talk about, it's like you had to be ready for it and had to play for it. And the thing is, this card specifically, I don't think is as bad. I do, again, I don't think it's wrong for them to ban it. I am perfectly fine with this, suspension, they should call it. I just think the other two, I agree completely. I wanted that. This one, I didn't think it needed to be. But yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
There was potentially other avenues of approach that could have been taken, aka errata, right? To not just clarify, but to actually change some of the rulings, so to make that card not bannable, but like depower it a little bit, right? That's what you're saying,
right? And then you didn't have to like say, oh, this card's card text doesn't make sense anymore. Like, it's just a rule, an overall rule that is essentially, it's like, oh yeah, you can't destroy a resource you just gained.
Yeah, then that would change the Han leader's ability.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, no, I think it's just his ability at all either. He still has to destroy a resource. It just has to be his own.
Yeah, I think it's just the problem is with new players coming to the game. Like, look, for everybody who plays in a competitive environment, we're going to know about this. But it's for players who don't come into that environment, who aren't familiar with it, who are new to the game, and you're going to come out, they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. And you're like, no, actually, you can't do that because of Rule 37, Subsection C that was errated, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like having
a codex in like a Warhammer tabletop game. Like, there's all these changes that like might occur or something, right?
Yeah, it's one thing.
And that's part of the reason that they're doing full card expansions. So I get that.
Yeah. So, like, look, like I said, I'm not going to, in the same way that, I wasn't arguing that I think TDR needed to be or is worthy of the ban. I think you're kind of saying the same thing, just difference of opinion on maybe how they went about it. But either way, I think this is healthy for the game because it does open up opens back up, some play styles that really we haven't seen. Like, we haven't seen a hard control deck be dominant or really in the top.
Boss Blue won.
Boss Blue did win, but that's because Django has a Jango.
Let's talk about that. So we don't want to talk about the Jango TDR.
We beat this
DJ
to death.
DJ ban, because everyone talks about. There's like a bajillion videos about it already.
Yes.
So we could talk about what the meta is going to look like. I'll go first because this is like a topic that I'm springing on you guys, like I always do. But I did mention, like, months ago that I thought with the rise of Jango, right, there was going to be a rise of hard controlled counter. Because Jango was suppressing.
I think I made that prediction.
No, I did. Check the tape.
Check the tape.
And we both did.
Anyway, so we're both right. I will say that the way it's going about is different now because it was a DJ ban. But I will say we're going to see a rise of hard control, and it's going to be wild. We've had it. We haven't played against it for like 4 months. And it's going to be all of the
place. Well, that's the thing, is we're going to, like, the Sabine decks, I think, are going to come back a little bit more, the aggro, because the hard control is coming back. So when you have hard control, you need the aggro is also going to come, right? So I agree there completely, but I'm excited for, like, Palp. I think Palp could come back being strong. Obviously, he's my favorite leader.
He's coming back.
Excited to see what can happen with him again.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be playing Palp, I think. I don't know for certain, but Colossus. Yeah, Colossus really breathes life into him.
Yeah, it is brutal. The Colossus as a base is so friggin' strong. It's wild.
Yeah. For those of you who are not in this, Colossus is a base that gives you 35 health. The downside to it is that you only draw 5 cards on your initial draw, which really isn't much of a downside, but frankly, like, in a hard control deck.
Yeah, and the thing is the purity of it all is like all the blue cards are like Sentinel or Restore or some type of defeat.
Or draw cards.
Mm-hmm. Like Boss Blue, you can just like, with a Boss Blue deck, you can just Deathmark and then take the reward and get 4 cards back. You can do Pershing. There's like so many answers to like that problem of only losing 1 card in your starting hand that it really doesn't even... Nope. It's like nominal, you know what I mean?
And it is the most health differential of all the new bases. Like, going upwards, right?
Yeah, it's the largest base.
33, Lake Country's 34, so...
Yeah.
And, I mean... Yeah, it's if you couldn't mulligan, maybe it's bad, it's worse, but because you get to mulligan still, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think it's good. I think my other boy that I was kind of hoping might be okay if I was not going to be playing Django, if Django just got the ban, was going to be Piet, but I think ultimately Palp just kind of does it better, frankly. Like with Piet, you're running a little bit more mid-range because you're trying to put more, frankly, triangles into it. I'm using a colloquialism to say capital ships because all of the Imperial capital ships are space triangles. You're running a lot of triangles to basically get there faster. The problem is that Palp is running more hard control typically, and then on top of it, you're like, cool, I dropped this thing on curve or above curve a little bit early, but Palp is also super ramping, and then so Palp flips and just steals one of your triangles, and it's a sad day.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, you know what, Palp? You're gonna Palp Blue specifically? Colossus?
Yeah.
It can outrange the aggro, because the aggro will get to 30 health, and then turn over.
Like, and you still have 5 health left. Yeah.
You still have 5 health left, and which is enough to like survive another hit or two, drop like a reinforcement walker, drop whatever you want at the end of the day.
Yep.
Anakin Blue, I've always been a strong believer in that. We have in McClunky, there's Qui-Shon Jinn, who's like advocated for that deck and has performed really well with multiple top 8s, top 2s.
With
top
Colossus, eights, like, it's a problem.
Yeah, without even Colossus, it is going to be so strong.
Now, you don't even have to change much. Just give them 5 more health to deal with.
Yeah, that's literally all you do. You just switch out the base and maybe a couple extra cards. But mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. I do think that Anakin Blue is going to suffer if hard control sees a rise, because what Anakin Blue is doing is dropping is really wanting to drop like 1 big thing a turn, and control just eats that, you know, steals that lunch money all day long.
Yeah,
cool, you drop something for 5 and then I blew it up.
I guess it depends on the, you know, how you structure it, because I could imagine a world where you're going hand destruction side and create dragons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like what is the hard control deck going to do at that point, you know? I mean,
yeah, everything they do is going
right, to you know, fell the dragon?
Yeah. Hell, it's going to hurt
them. Not if they don't have cards in their hand.
You know. Just keep we'll see.
Pillaging them.
What other I know we've been talking about this for a little bit, but are there any other decks or deck types out there do you think are going to do well? I mean, you said Sabine, you guys are both believers in Palp. I think Anakin Blue Colossus is going to start to dominate.
I think it's going to be a thing still.
Is there any other decks you think are going to be good?
So I'm curious, like there was a Leia deck that looked interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see if we're going the aggro route now here, doing like a rebel aggro Leia deck could be pretty interesting.
Just the green with the Lake Country, like the one that topped.
Not necessarily just the, because that was interesting, but I think losing that aspect hurts a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like going aggro, you know, green, red with Leia, it was good in set one. It didn't like keep pace with Sabine, but we got a lot of rebels here now.
Yeah.
And so you could do something.
What about your boy Gil, or your girl Gil, Hera with Lake Country?
No, I don't believe in it. I see people doing it. But like, if I was going to build a Hera deck, I've tested out a lot of things. I think Hera Cunning is probably the best one that can do work. Because the green-green combination is just a little too slow and there's no removal. Just not enough, right? The red one, if you're going to go green-red, why not just play Sabine? Or why not just play, like, Helea, right? Or any other great, combination. The blue is interesting, I think. But then, like, again, it's one of those things, like, why not just play Luke and give yourself shields?
Lando could be good too.
Lando is gonna have some legs, I think too. There's a guy in a lot of our discords that is advocating for Lando, and I haven't played it yet, but it's a lot easier
to get the shields out than you think. Like, it's pretty, like, I thought it was gonna be harder to get those shields to come out, but because you can put on anything instead of having to be like a heroic with Luke or whatever the restrictions are, it's actually pretty, like, especially in the limited that I played in,
really,
RSG, like, he was doing really well against
my only concern is that it's the same thing that I've been concerned about, where, like, I was looking at Gar Saxon, and it's a little bit the same problem. It's like, okay, you put a shield out, but if we see a rise in hard control, it's slow, and control just says, okay, cool, you put a shield, I'm gonna blow it up.
Yeah, like a removal.
Yeah. Single target removal. Yeah, so it's like you put all your eggs in one basket, and then they're like, okay, cool, I kill that thing. You know, like, that's where it's that's where it's gonna suffer. Now, if there's an angle where Lando is able to kind of play a little bit of that control game, then maybe. But it sounds like, I haven't seen the specific build, but it sounds like you want to kind of run him a little bit more mid-rangey, and I don't know if that's gonna play out as well. But Palp should, I think the main reason is going to be because Palp is going to be a problem. But as you rightfully point out, I think Sabine will see a little bit of a rise again. But is she going to be able to burn through 35 health, whereas before you had to only burn through 30? That's the problem. I think to that point, we may see some, like, real. The other thing that we may see is some real, like, super fast aggro, seeing if, like, if that can maybe do it. I'm still toying around with Von Reg.
A super swarm deck with Vader.
A super swarm deck with Vader is a possibility.
I want to make the new Vader work too. I need to figure out a way to do it, because that just seems exciting. I did pull a showcase, but I think I'm going to trade it. I'm going to get some other showcases in it.
Yeah.
For him,
in return.
I think the concern with the new Vader is that deck is very, very reliant upon Victor Leader, which is a 2/4.
Yeah,
it's not the only thing it's reliant on, but it's kind of that's the crux.
It's a strong pump, like, to have just as a unit that, like, because you have already these TIE fighters, gets astronomically stronger, and there's no board wipe that early to deal with it, right? So,
yeah,
I get it. Imagine if there was like a red 3 version of it, where they got raid as well. That would be so sick. But maybe this is what, maybe with Victor Leader and stuff, this is also where you have unity of purpose.
Double green, Jesus.
No, I was kidding. All right. I feel like we've burned through a lot of, like, this meta conversation. Because right now it's all speculation. We have no idea what's gonna happen.
And we've got 2 weeks until we see, like, competitively what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
because it's not because what is it? D or not? It's not Richmond. DC. It's wherever it is. Richmond. Richmond's not for another 2 weeks.
Yeah. So
end of the month.
And so when I come back from that as a champion, I'll tell you what.
With your Obi deck,
dude. I thought about making a new Obi deck, for not an ECL version, just a 30-point base one. Maybe
Data Vault.
Data Vault. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even Data Vault, because that would be sick. I should tool around with that. I've tried to go to, like, the cunning side of things, but it just doesn't feel right with Obi-Wan. He you know.
Yeah, no, you got to get that vault, that data vault, man. Get those 60 cards in that deck. Be like a European and just play way over.
I love the Europeans. They play so, they're so fun. They're so friendly. I wish I could go back to.
Yeah, definitely not putting them down. I think it's great. Like this deck, they don't care about the percentage. I want this card in the deck. Let's put it in. Like I'm at 54. Sure. Let's go.
Yeah. I would love to. I can't wait till Galactic Championships. Now that we're kind of talking about the end of the meta, but like conversation, mm-hmm. I can't wait for the Galactic Championships where we can actually have all like, everyone across the world like playing right. this game, that would be sick. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. And then who knows, might get a bunch of more casual people wandering about because of the mass market packs.
Oh yeah,
so. I do think this first Galactic Championship. I know Gil, you were a little bit down on the last one about like the fanfare around this, but I think we're gonna see, you're gonna get your fill of that at the Galactic Championships.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Maybe. And then the week after is Gen Con, which there's gonna be some super special events there as well, like new types of events for Gen Con.
You know what's a surprise? It's a little like I expected, but we haven't seen was a light side. Con exclusive pack.
This year.
Well, I thought we would have heard about it by now.
Maybe they're going to announce it at the Galactic Championships.
Oh, that, you know, get the hype so that people just fly over and just skip work for another week.
Or they have limited quantities of it there, maybe.
Oh, that's another thing that's going to be even harder to get, like, because people, if the
those promos, the promos are going to be,
the promo is going to be so hard to obtain. But, you know, that's a problem for next week, next week's podcast.
All I'm saying is I want those super laser blasts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, guys.
The Snoke. The Snoke looks pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of those cards, a lot of the new cards looking so good. Okay. Sorry. We can't, we got to stop. We got to stop here. We can't go for the full hour. I don't want this podcast. I mean, maybe. I don't know. If anyone has an opinion on that, like if you want like an hour-long podcast, if that's better, let me know. But I've been trying to keep it around the 30 to 45-minute range. And I think that's pretty good.
It's our trademark. You know, it's a staple of ours. So
yeah. Yeah. We're like, okay, 30 to 45 is like you're casual and you're trying hard, but you're not like a try hard. You know, that's
are we casual tryhards?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, last thing before I let everyone go. Again, everyone who's listening, I appreciate everything. I appreciate it all. As always, I'll appreciate your feedback. I'll appreciate your comments, concerns, moans, whatever that might be. We're at 207. At this count, was like over 270 subs in YouTube, and which is like really, really great. We're halfway there. Maybe we'll think about doing another survey for all the OG listeners, or survey, like raffle form, so that everyone who might have started to join can get more chances to get those get that convention pack, exclusive convention pack, 2024 anyway. So it would be
you could
cool.
say they're living on a prayer.
Living on a prayer. That's so funny. You got jokes today, man.
I got them all.
All right. With that, again, thank you all for listening. And until next time, may the force be with you.